Welcome back. It's the third hour of Issues Etc. today. We're carrying over from a little bit of open lines in the last hour. I need to respond to the last caller a little bit, and I'll do that in just a moment. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we were talking before the break, and this was raised by some comments made by Frank Griswold, who's the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA lately. He's talking about how the president's budget has a poor setting of priorities in terms of how much money is being spent. He says it favors the rich. There's not enough money being set aside for health care for the poor generally here and abroad. That's his criticism, along with some other religious leaders this week, of the president's budget. Nothing new there, and I simply raise the question of, you know, when there is no thus saith the Lord. And Frank Griswold's got to be aware of the fact that he, at least the perception is, speaks for at least his church, if not for a great number of Christians. When there is no thus saith the Lord, then you walk a thin line when you say, well, Jesus was about social justice, and that means our government should be about social justice. Who should be about social justice? Who should be about feeding the poor? That was the question some of the callers were answering on the far side of that break. In just a moment, I want to raise another question. It's before, after I respond to our last caller, and that is, what's the appropriate length for a sermon? Can a sermon be too long, too short? What determines it? Yesterday, we started this conversation. We had a caller who said, look, we're trying to stuff too much stuff into our services. And so our sermons are becoming subsequently shorter and shorter and shorter. We're just trying to do too many things. Now, his concerns were with extraneous things like the making of announcements, the addition of children's sermons. And these things tend to multiply. I gave the example of what happened just last week at the church I attend, where, technically speaking, it wasn't part of the service because it started, because the service hadn't started yet, but it started when the service was supposed to start according to the clock. Service starts at 10:45, but at 10:45 we weren't doing the service. We were making announcements. We were hearing from some other people in the congregation. And then the service began. But it still had to stay within the 10:45 to 11:45 time parameter, at least in theory. So what loses there? So how long should the sermon be, and what should determine its length? It's open lines 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. When we pick up the new subject, we won't leave the old one behind. If you'd like to continue our conversation on the role of government in caring for the poor, I'd be happy to do that as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I think the previous caller's point, when I asked him the question whether or not Christians could disagree on the amount of taxation, he said, no, we can disagree, but the government shouldn't go beyond the tithe, shouldn't require more than the tithe. Now, it sounds as though he's saying, yeah, we can't disagree. I mean, if I said, hey, I think it's legitimate for the government to take 11%, he would disagree with me. So and he cited a passage, I believe he was talking about Genesis 41:42 in that neighborhood, where the Egyptian government took 20%. Now, that alone would seem to violate, if there is a thus saith the Lord on the government can collect taxes but no more than 10%, that alone would seem to violate it. And if you look more closely at the passage, in particular, where that one-fifth collection of everything, all the produce of Egypt, is planned out, it's planned out by Joseph. This is Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dream about the slim cows and the slim ears of corn. You know those old Sunday school stories. And the fat cows and the fat ears of corn. And Joseph tells Pharaoh, this is going to mean seven fat years, seven slim years for Egypt. Lots of crops for 7 years, then practically nothing for the next 7 years. And this is what you ought to do. And I'm picking up here Genesis chapter 41 at verse 32, and I pick up at 32 for a reason. This is Joseph speaking to Pharaoh. The dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, Joseph, in his interpretation of the dream, says this dream came from God, and it came to warn you, Pharaoh, and your people, and that God came to warn you twice that he's going to do it. So the dream came from God. There's no doubt about that. To Pharaoh. Joseph interprets it, and in verse 33, Joseph gives some advice. He says, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh do this. And let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth, that's 20%, of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine that shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land may not perish during the famine. Pharaoh thinks it's a good idea. He says, and I think that you're a good idea, Joseph. So Joseph gets to be the man with discernment who collects 20%. Joseph is actually the tax collector in this story. He oversees the entire confiscatory tax structure in Egypt, 20%. Pretty steep rates of everything grown, all the food, it's all collected for 7 years. Now, Joseph might have just been coming up with a bright idea on his own, or just like his interpretation of the dream came from God himself, so the plan of action to keep Egypt and the rest of the world alive during the famine, by the way, we are told later in the book of Genesis that that's a whole reason Joseph was sent down there, to keep his family alive, so that God's people, Jacob's descendants, would not perish during the famine. God's plan was a 20% tax. If there is a thus saith the Lord, I don't think 10% is enough. Maybe 20 is the divinely mandated percentage. I mean, if you can use a passage to say it shouldn't be more than a tithe, there's one that the only time God gives... Through his appointed interpreter, Joseph, the only time God sets out a plan for taxation, it's 20%. Do you remember in Alabama recently, was it the governor who said that they should be setting their state tax policy according to Jesus' priorities? And he said, it's got to be higher. What would Jesus tax? Well, more than we are. You've been to Alabama, haven't you? It's a very poor state. And he said the answer is, to answer the question, what would Jesus tax? More than we are. He wanted to raise taxes and say, thus saith the Lord. It's open lines, issues, etc. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Now, moving from how big your taxes should be to how long your sermons should be. All of us have heard the too long sermon. And all of us, well, maybe not all of us, have heard the too short sermon. Yesterday, we reviewed Pastor Will Wheaton's sermon from a previous Sunday. A lot of good things to say about Pastor Wheaton's sermon. But one criticism, if there is one to be leveled against it, I said on the air, was I think it was just not, it was too short. I think it could have gone on longer. I do not know why Pastor Wheaton preaches the 10-minute sermon. I could take a wild guess, but it would be nothing more than a guess. There are a lot of preachers nowadays getting down to the 10-minute sermon or the 5-minute sermon. In fact, I was at a website for a church this very day. Here's Geeky Wilkin doing his hobby, looking at church websites. And the selling point for each one of their services, they had the traditional service, they had the blended service, they had the couples service, they had every kind of service you could possibly offer. But at the end of each one of the little blurbs for each one of the services, this service also contains a short inspirational message. The emphasis, of course, being on short. No long sermons at this church to scare people away. I got an email yesterday from a listener who said, here is the problem. Short attention spans. We've got short attention spans, and that's why our sermons are getting shorter. People, it's kind of the dumbing down argument. People are being dumbed down, and they're attention spans are being whittled down to practically nothing. And therefore, our sermons are accommodating themselves to the shortened attention spans of the average American, and we're ending up with 10-minute sermons or 5-minute sermons, or sermons that are just mere thoughts strung together and amount to very little more than just a few random ideas to think about. My question for you is, can a sermon be too short? And if so, how short would that be? Can a sermon be too long? What's too long? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And before we end this conversation, we will need to talk about the way we determine long and short is the clock. Does your church have a clock in it? I've preached in churches where there are clocks. Now, they're not up. If we were honest, we'd just put the darn thing in the middle of the altar, hang it from the front of the altar and say, there's our God. For the next hour, we're going to watch that thing because it will tell us when it's time to stop. I mean, there are a lot of churches. That's the way it works. Really. If it's not the clock on the wall, it's the clock on your wrist. Who says when it's time to stop? Praying, singing, receiving the sacrament, listening to the preacher. This little doohickey on my wrist, that's when it says. So who's really running the show? We'll talk about that in a minute. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. As a bit of an incentive, the best callers will receive our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. I seem to remember in the few times that I heard Dr. Nagel preach in the seminary, he preached a short sermon. At least I thought it was short at the time. No more than 10 minutes. Someone reminded me, he's preached longer. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Selected Sermons of Dr. Norman Nagel. The best caller will receive a copy of that book. The best callers. Let's go to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Allison is up first, calling from her car. Hi, Allison.
Hi. Dutch, do I have you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. I have a comment on both of the topics you've been talking on this afternoon.
Sure.
On the sermons, I went from a church that had used to have a 10-minute sermon. They got a new preacher, 20-minute sermon. The 20-minute sermons were awful, and that's what everybody said. It was attention span. I now go to a new church. The shortest sermons we have are 20 minutes. They often go over half an hour. You don't feel like you've been there even 5 minutes. I think a lot of it has to do with the person giving the sermon and whether or not they can reach the people and their attention spans.
Okay, so you are establishing here, and I'll get to your other concern too, but you're establishing here at the outset, Allison, that there is a relationship between the quality of the preaching and what people will deem an appropriate length to the sermon.
Most definitely.
All right. What's your other? You had a thought on the other subject too?
Yes. Your comments from the story of Joseph and the tax collection.
Yeah.
Weren't you taking the 20% just a little bit out of context in that it was only charged for 7 years? The next 7 years, they paid nothing in because there was a famine. In the United States, we're expected to pay taxes no matter whether we've had a good year or a bad year.
Well, we do, but it is proportional to our income.
Correct.
Right. Well, actually, if you listen carefully, Allison, I was being a bit tongue-in-cheek with that. I ended by saying, if someone wants to find a thus saith the Lord in the Bible for taxation, then here's a legitimate place to look. When God sends a vision to Pharaoh, it's 20%. Thank you very much, Allison. Steve is calling from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, I got a quick question. Why 1 hour? Why do we, is this a 20th century American invention that church services have to be 1 hour? And if we go over, we have roast pastor for dinner Sunday after church?
Yeah, I agree.
And because my church, I mean, my church is notorious for going hour and 15 minutes. And, you know, if there's things that have to get in, a baptism, you know, things that are relevant to the church service that cause it to go over, so be it. So, but I think, though, that when it comes to the length of the sermon, I think, like the prior caller is, it has much to do with the perceived amount of time than the actual time. In good sermons, they could be at half an hour. You would notice that a bad sermon could be 5 minutes and you're miserable.
I've had that experience too, really, where listening to a bad preacher, not a bad delivery. I'm not talking about delivery here. You can have the most dynamic delivery of the worst preaching, and it is excruciating. In fact, it was about 2 months ago that I heard a sermon like this. The preacher was skilled as a communicator. He was a skilled orator. There is no doubt about it. Practiced and smooth. But the sermon itself, in terms of its content, was abysmal. And I felt like someone had hooked electrodes to the seat of my chair. And there was at one point it was excruciating. There was one point where my daughter's sitting next to me we're in the very back row of church, where I couldn't hold it in anymore. I wanted to scream, but I groaned. When the preacher got to a certain point and he just dropped the ball. He didn't drop the ball. He threw the ball into the stands and he threw the ball into the opponent's net. It was unbelievable. And I groaned. I wanted to scream. I wanted to pound my head against the pew back in front of me, but I merely groaned. And my daughter looked over at me like, and she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'll tell you after the service." And I did tell her after the service. The most excruciating, it was a 15-minute sermon, but it felt like it took 3 weeks. And I walked out of church, and I think I even said to my daughter, "That was the longest 15 minutes I have ever had to sit and listen to nonsense in my life." And I had a great opportunity to explain to her the difference between a good and a bad sermon. Roy calls from his car. Roy, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I guess this is kind of repeating what the two previous callers said, but, you know, you hear 30-minute sermons that you think are just 5 minutes. You hear 10-minute homilies that seem like they last all week. But I also like to watch the twitching in the pews as the law does its work in a really good sermon, to watch the people react to the message.
Thank you, Roy. Well, I don't want to get too far off the subject there, but I would just caution you, Roy, let that word sink in with you, too. I mean, it is interesting to do a little people watching and say, wow, this word is having its effect. But let it sink in with you, too. Okay, so if it's a great sermon, you can sit through it. I am going to question that. If it's a great sermon, can you really sit through 30 minutes? Let's be honest. I mean, we want to say, oh, if it was a great sermon, if it was Peter preaching, oh, he could preach for hours. Remember this guy, Peter or Paul, he's in the upper room preaching, and this sincere young man who came to hear him preach falls out asleep and dies in the street. He obviously couldn't take that length of a sermon and keep his attention span up. Jane's calling from Arnold. Hi, Jane.
Hi there. When I first started going to the Lutheran Church, I called in one time on your open line and said, the only thing, because the Lutheran Church I go to, we get great law and gospel preaching every Sunday. And I said, the only thing is, they're too short. And a man called in after me that used to be Baptist, and he said, let him alone. But I can sit 30 minutes or more because I was used to doing that, and if I'm being fed, it's fine. But I want to address the attention span in America. How many movies, and it costs a lot to go to a movies nowadays, are 10 minutes or 15 minutes? So is it the attention span?
What do you mean, the movies are 10 or 15 minutes?
How many are?
None.
So see, it's not the attention span. People sit in there two and a half hours, whatever they are, pay a lot of money for it. So I don't think it's the attention span.
Jane, thank you. Some of them are 4 hours. When Titanic came out, my field worker at the time, our seminary field worker when I was in the parish, went to see this movie like 6 times. And I said, that's like a whole day. You spent a whole day of your life watching Titanic, because it was a 4-hour movie. Oh, it just seemed to fly by. Not for me, baby. The first part of that movie dragged. I'm like, sink the ship. When is this ship going to break in half? I came to watch the sinking of the Titanic. And I'm watching Leonardo DiCaprio and whoever, Kate Winslet, rolling around in an old buggy in the storage room. And I'm thinking to myself, when is the ship going down? And I think about hour 3, the iceberg appeared. Have you been to any movies lately where they just, they're not editing movies anymore? 2 hours? 2 hours, 15 minutes? Even the ones I love, like the Lord of the Rings movie? 2 hours? Two hours and a half? Too long. I'm going to question this. If it's good, I could listen forever. Or I could listen longer. I think that gives us too much credit. I think even when the sermon's great, we're like, come on, all right, this is good, but get it over with. Wrap it up. I talked about preaching the other night at Grace in Auburn, and my producer was there in the back seat. Jeff was back there in the very back row, and I half expected him, because I know my sermon was going long, and it was an evening service. I half expected to see the wrap it up sign. He's giving it to me right now. He was too polite, but I think he might have done it. Good sermon, but come on. Wrap it up. Let's be honest. Bill calls from Los Alamos, New Mexico. He listens on the Internet. Bill, thanks for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, thanks, Todd. The way I see this, a sermon needs to have sufficient time for the Spirit to work through the law and the gospel. And so, in my mind, what that needs to be then is that the law, it must have sufficient time for the law to, as was Anna Walter says this at least, that we were prepared to cry out, how then, who then can be saved? And I don't find that most sermons are sufficiently long to do that. And so I think that a sermon tends to need to be longer than they presently are.
That's a great point, Bill. Now, I don't know if we need to give, let's rephrase it and clarify what Bill had to say there. The Spirit could work in whatever time he deems necessary. But I agree that the sermon needs to proceed at a pace that is appropriate to people digesting what's being heard. I can talk fast, not as talk as fast as some, but I'm thinking of Bob Passantino. He's a layperson, but if he ever were a pastor and he preached, he could get 20 minutes of sermon done in 5 minutes. You wouldn't understand half of it, though, because he would jumble his words on top of each other. He would have said everything and thought every thought because he thought fast, but whether you could digest it in that time. And I think you're right, Bill. It needs to proceed at a pace wherein the listener can digest what's being said, and therefore, because unless the word is heard and understood, the Holy Spirit works through that word. He doesn't work magically. He works through that word. That word must be heard. So the sermon's got to be long enough for the message of long gospel to be heard. So Bill says longer. Anyone disagree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So far, no more advocates for shorter sermons. And I ask, so why are they getting shorter? If we can't find someone to call in and say they're too long already, they need to be shorter, why are pastors preaching shorter? They would say they're responding to the felt needs of their audiences and to the shorter attention spans and whatever. Or maybe there are other factors at work. What do you think they are? Why are sermons becoming so very short? When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. The last 25 minutes of Issues, Etc. is open lines. I'll get to those phone calls right after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
One of the most interesting and influential theologians and teachers of the 20th century is also one of the most intriguing preachers of the 20th century. Dr. Norman Nagel is a regular guest on Issues, Etc., and our Issues, Etc. book of the month for March is the selected sermons of Norman Nagel, but this book is not about Dr. Nagel. It is, like all of his sermons, about Christ and Him crucified. This selection of over 50 sermons over a lifetime of preaching is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. There you'll find the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, selected sermons of Norman Nagel.
Change the culture. You can use your gifts.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the designers of a creation museum being built near Cincinnati, Ohio. Well, Ken, can you give us some examples of how ordinary people are changing society today?
You know, we live in a culture that's in desperate need of change. Many Christians don't feel equipped to influence a society that's become more secular and less Christian. But it really doesn't take a PhD to change the culture. Not when you have the right resources. You know, as a ministry that equips Christians to impact the culture, Answers in Genesis sees many ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Some of them now work for us full time. People like Buddy Davis, who uses his unique talents to teach children and adults about dinosaurs, Genesis, and the gospel. He does this through singing, songwriting, and dinosaur sculpting. Many of his life-size dinosaur sculptures will be featured in our Creation Museum. Another person who comes to mind is Patrick Marsh of our staff. When he heard about the Creation Museum's need for a display designer, he saw the opportunity to use his God-given abilities to tell the history of the earth from the Bible's perspective. You know, he'd actually been the scene designer for the Jaws and King Kong attractions at Universal Studios in Florida. Well, I have a question for you. How are you going to use your talents to change the culture and lives?
Our future museum will tackle the question, where did Cain find his wife? The answer is also found on our website, answersradio.com. Answersradio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. Alcopops are new drinks that combine alcohol with the cola or lemon-lime flavors that young teens enjoy the most. Perhaps you've seen the ads for Smirnoff Ice, Sky Blue, or Mike's Hard Lemonade. These sweet drinks that have the same alcohol content as beer appeal especially to young teens who have not yet developed the taste for alcohol. Do these manufacturers care that alcohol-related accidents are the number one killer of teens today? Jesus cares. He cared enough to die on the cross. And he wants every teen to know that Alco-Pops are not as harmless as they are portrayed in the media. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
AM 850 KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, March 9th, 2005, Jan Ahrens. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to AM 850 KFUO in loving memory of her grandmother, Margaret Dugunya, and her godmother, Lillian von der Lage, both formerly members of Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Lima. Once again, we say thank you to Jan Ahrens of Baldwin, Missouri, today's AM 850 KFUO day sponsor.
Now, we're only going to give a few of these books away to the best callers during open lines here. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. The rest of you, here's how you can get the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. First, if you're just interested in finding out what it's all about, go to our website, issuesetc.org. It is the Selected Sermons of Dr. Norman Nagel, $24.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Call first thing tomorrow, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can go in. There are two locations where you could pick up the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. One is the CPH Bookstore at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, and the other here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, 801 Dimon. Follow the signs to the CPH Bookstore and ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. Larry's on the line. He calls from Crete, Illinois. Larry, welcome.
Hi, Todd. This is Larry Leary from Northern Illinois.
Sure.
On Vicarage in Michigan, I had someone actually complain that they didn't think they were getting their money's worth because I only preached 7 to 10 minutes.
Now, why were you preaching 7 to 10 minutes?
Well, because I would think that it was because I stuck to the three or so main points that I had chosen out of the gospel text for that appointed Sunday and preached Christ and Him crucified. And, you know, what more is there to say?
And when you were done, you were done.
And I would, right. I mean, I could go on for an hour and a half in the pulpit, but I wouldn't have very many people left.
How did you respond when the parishioner said, I'm not getting my money's worth, 7 to 10 minutes isn't enough?
I just said simply that I stick to the text.
And how long do you preach now, Larry?
7 to 10 minutes.
Really? So it, for you, it's an economy of words.
It is, and I think that's part of it. And if the preacher, if a good preacher, if he knows his material, and through the careful meditation and study of the word throughout the week as he prepares his sermon, I don't think that it can't be sufficiently done, that is, preaching Christ crucified within a short period of time.
So, okay, I used to have field workers from the seminary, and I used to put them up on Wednesday nights and say, I want a five-minute sermon, law and gospel, get us to the cross in 5 minutes. And I said, the lesson is, if you can preach a five-minute sermon, you can preach a 20-minute sermon.
Right.
But if you can't preach a five-minute sermon, 20 minutes isn't going to do it for you.
Right. And usually when I get to the word repent in my sermon, my people know, whether they're consciously aware of it or not, but they know that it's starting to wrap up, that there will be two or three more paragraphs where I will go into the whole business about us being baptized and chosen as Christ's new creatures, and that he will sustain us through word and sacrament, and that's it.
Well, with all that said, before I let you go, do you think that a 25-minute sermon is too long by definition?
I do. I honestly do. Because myself, when I go and I am sitting in the pew as a participating worshiper, you know, if it's more than 10 or 12 minutes, I'm, no matter how good the preacher is, I mean, even if it's David Peterson, I want him to wrap it up.
I don't know. I could listen to David Peterson for longer than 10 minutes, but that's just me. Thank you very much for the call. Okay, I am a little concerned about money's worth, and I used this term, in fact, the other day. The people saying, I'm not getting my money's worth, preacher, which they may just be using a figure of speech. They may also be saying, hey, we're paying you for 20 minutes, and don't give us seven. In which case, I think the response from Larry is appropriate. Look, I will preach as long as the text keeps me in the pulpit. And when the text, when I run out of text and have said what the text needs to say in a clear enough way, I will step down and stop talking. Now, that's the rule I use for myself as a preacher today. I stay in the pulpit as long as the text keeps me in the pulpit. And that means that you have to choose appropriately short sections of text so that you're not in the pulpit for an hour. But what would be wrong with being in the pulpit for an hour, someone might ask? Well, it's just too long. There'd be no room, no time for anything else. Right? But that brings us back to the question raised by one of our first callers in this conversation. Why 1 hour? What has made the hour mark the magical time? You say, well, we got three services. And so each one runs an hour, and we got to stick to the schedule. Why does the schedule demarcate one service 1 hour? Why doesn't the schedule demarcate one service 1/2 hour? But it is pretty standard in a lot of churches, 1 hour. Ozzy listens in Barnhart. Ozzy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. I was going to bring up not only the episode in Acts where the person fell out of the loft because they fell asleep, but also didn't Jesus preach really long in one of the fish and loaves times, and they were almost faint with hunger? I think that, we have a really great pastor in Barnhart, and one of the things I like about his sermons is that he really has some great illustrations and anecdotes that help tie things, help bring the point home. And I think that, you know, maybe I loved the sermon yesterday that you had. I wish I could get it, just his sermon, and so I could listen to it. I think that maybe some people, you know, they used to talk about left side of the brain and right side of the brain, and maybe some illustrations help people that want to think, you know, whatever, on the right side of the brain, and people that have the really short sermons just think, you know, very logically and rationally.
Well, I can never figure out which side of my brain I'm thinking with. That's my problem. I always get them confused. Front side, back side, I don't know anymore. There are some sermons. Oh, you know, I mentioned the sermon that I found so excruciating that went about 15 minutes, but it felt like 15 hours because the sermon was so abysmal. Here's a little hint on what I found, one of the things I found disturbing about the sermon. It was nothing but three stories strung together with a few thoughts. It was all illustration. In fact, if you would have taken the illustrations and the personal stories out of this sermon, I have nothing against a pastor using a personal story in his sermon, but all three of them were. If you took it out, the sermon would have been about a minute and a half long. Really? Spent most of the time illustrating. And see, if it's all illustration and know what you're illustrating, then you're not illustrating anything. You're just telling stories. I've criticized some of the preaching we review here on the program by saying it's typical of a lot of preaching. Three stories, three quotations from famous people, and a honorable mention of Jesus at the end. Did it say anything? Did it have a text? Did it go anywhere? Did it get me to the cross? Did it get the cross to me? I love using illustrations in sermons. But sometimes, well, and sometimes more often than not, the illustrations don't illustrate a lot. And you walk away remembering the cute little story about the boy with the boat that he set out on the water, and it came back, and it's twice his, and oh, or the footprints in the sand, and Jesus gets lost in the story. Dale's on the line calling from his car. Dale, welcome. Dale, welcome to Issues, Etc. Dale, your phone is barely there. Please call back, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. I heard a few peeps out of him, but I think his phone is going. Chuck in High Ridge, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you doing, Todd?
Very well.
You know, the message, the sermon, should be the focus of the entire service. And how long it is depends upon, number one, the text that is used. Sometimes the text of the gospel is 4, 6, 8 verses long. Other times, like this coming Sunday, it's, 45, 47 verses long. And what message the pastor has in that text that needs to be put across. Secondly, the audience, I think, makes a big difference. My normal congregation, I do 13 to 15 minute homilies. When we go to the nursing home the first Sunday of every month, that homily gets pared down to about 5 to 7 minutes, or mm-hmm. I'm talking to a room full of sleeping people. Thirdly, regardless of what people say or feel, the average attention span of an adult male, adult learner, is about 23 minutes. So if you go much more than 15 minutes in your sermon, you're starting to lose people at an increasing rate.
All right, you've made some good points there, Chuck, and I can't say there's anything in there I disagree with. Are you still there, Chuck? All right. I'm wondering about the preachers who know how long they preach. We had one just call from up near Chicago. He said 7 to 10 minutes, and Chuck just called, and he talked about 13 to 15. Are you watching your watch? I know preachers. I've seen them. When they get ready to preach, off comes the watch. They take it off. There's my watch. They set it on the pulpit in front of them, and they watch the watch. Now, I don't watch my watch during the sermon. You could probably tell by the way I preach. I'm too busy preaching to watch my watch, and I can't keep track of when I started. I'll say, oh, I may have started it at 8:15, and then by the time I'm 2 or 3 minutes into the sermon, I don't remember when I started anymore. So I just go until I'm done. Now, I want to get back to that, the watch, the clock, its place in worship. I do have to disagree with one thing that Chuck had to say, and that is that the sermon ought to be the focus. It ought to be a focus. We are a church of word and sacrament, not word alone. Word and sacrament. Christ has given us means of grace, not a means of grace. And I think Chuck would agree that the sermon is one of two great foci, to use the plural there, in Christian worship, the preaching, the proclamation of the gospel, and the delivering of that gospel through Christ's gift of the Lord's Supper. Those are the two great mountain peaks in the range that is Christian worship. And so that's the one place I would clarify what Chuck had to say. Jason is calling from his car. Jason, welcome.
Thank you. I've been listening to your show, enjoy your show very much. I'm not Lutheran. This is the first time I've just adamantly disagreed with you about the shortness of sermons.
Go to it, please.
Well, I'm exhausted by many sermons that are 45 minutes plus that are mostly stories and anecdotes. I just despise that.
So we agree.
Despise is a strong word.
We agree there.
Yeah, but okay. I feel like good exegetical preaching, where you're preaching from a text and you're opening the Word of God, is a blessing in my life. And I could really sit for a long time. I would say I'm probably not the norm. I would say that many people would only want 15 minutes of preaching. But I just think that our culture and 30-minute television shows, I think that we do have a short attention span, and I would love to stretch that. And I think it's a minister's job, a very difficult job and choice of theirs, to say, am I going to preach pushing their attention span, or am I going to preach down to their attention span? Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer for that, but I feel like that's definitely a task of today's preacher.
Well put. Very well put. Very well put. We do have an attention span problem. But Jane called earlier and said, hey, these movies keep us in the seats and rapt with attention for over 2 hours. And paying for it, by the way. And that's sitting through 20 minutes of previews before you ever get to the movie. You know, they're thinking about starting a new policy in some theaters where they give you two times. For people who want to go and watch the previews, like me, they give you one time. And for the people who want to skip the previews, they'll tell you when the movie really starts. It's not just previews now, it's commercials too. Usually two or three of them. See if we can get everybody in here. Don is calling from Creve Coeur. Don, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It depends on what type of sermon we're talking about. A bad sermon where there's no gospel at all. You know, you're wasting your time if it's you know, an hour long or 5 minutes long. If we're talking about a good sermon, law and gospel and the cross preached, without sounding self-righteous, I almost feel ashamed that we're even having the discussion about the time of the sermon, how long it should be or how short.
Well, that's why we're having the discussion, to be honest with you, Don, because it's whether we have the discussion or not, everyone has an opinion on this. Everyone has sat through the sermon and said, and that's why the previous caller said he disagrees with me that we couldn't sit through good preaching for an extended period of time. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that there aren't times when we are saying when 25 minutes, 30 minutes, we don't care. This is great. I'm loving this. I'm being fed with God's word. Keep it coming, Pastor. There are times like that. But if we're honest with ourselves and our impatience and with God's word, there are many times when, no matter how good the sermon is, we're still saying, too long. This is great, but it's going on too long. I'm really calling us to be aware of the fact that there are a lot of other things ruling our hearts and minds than the Word of God. And one of them is the ticking of the clock. Becky calls from Canada. She listens on the Internet. Becky, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. I just tuned in about half hour ago, and I agree with the last caller that, you know, it really is unfortunate that this has become such an issue. My husband is a pastor, and he has one parishioner who every week, without fail, you know, gives him the time on how long the sermon was. And a few weeks ago, my husband said, well, you know, that's great, but what was the sermon about? And this man could not tell him because he was so concerned about how long or you know, whatever that my husband was preaching. And, you know, I'm thinking, I agreed with, I believe her name was Jane, how easily we can sit through movies or even sports. You know, because
the average baseball game, for heaven's sakes, yes.
Exactly. You know, and we can sit there for hours without fail. And I'm thinking this is the one time and place in our week where we can come and be served by God, and yet these people are trying to put a time limit on that, and instead of relishing in that and just receiving those gifts that he gives in his word and sacraments. You know, we live in such a busy world that we don't often take the time to sit and reflect. And this is another area where people are trying to shortchange themselves, I guess. But I appreciate the topic today because it certainly is very relevant for today. I don't know, you know, how we can encourage some of these people to just, like you said earlier, just put your watch down and just listen, you know?
Becky, I appreciate you listening there in Canada. That's always nice to have someone call in from the far north. Let's talk with Don, Junction City, Kansas, listening on the Internet. Don, welcome.
Yes, what I was going to say, you look back in history, when the church was at its strong points, oftentimes church services took 3 hours or more. People's interest was to hear the word of God gladly, and it didn't make any difference because they were hungry for that word. And we have a lot of people expect to be entertained in church, and they really don't know what worship is. And the sad part, these type of people are often the most noisy and have nerve enough to go to the pastor and tell him his sermon is too long when they have a heart problem is what is really behind a lot of this.
I think you're right, Don. When the next time if someone walks up and says, Pastor's sermon was 27 minutes 32 seconds long, ask them those two questions. What was it about? And how much shorter could it have been that you wouldn't have told me how long the darn thing was? Or are you always going to be watching the clock? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have too many callers to get into a short amount of time. Let's see. Each caller, 30 seconds. Dale in his car. Dale, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Pastor. What about having a sermon outline in front of the parishioners to be able to see where, you know, the sermon's going, have the text in front of them? That sort of takes the time limit out. What's your thoughts on that?
Bad idea, Dale. I hate the sermon outline in front of the parishioners for one reason, and that is they immediately start, they use it as a roadmap. When is this thing going to be over? We're at point D. That's about 4 minutes from now, and it just encourages worshiping the God of the clock. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That is my opinion. I don't think it helps. I think it hurts. Lois from St. Louis. Lois, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. You said it before. You know, we have more services now. Some of the churches are too small. When I was a child, we had two services, but the church was very large. And I think that, you know, trying to crowd three services into a Sunday morning, and then there's Bible class, and you're trying to make it so that when the children come out of Sunday school, you know, that they can go into church. And I know in our church we have communion in every service now, and of course that always takes a while. But what I do, usually I ask the Lord to help me to pay attention. And that really helps.
It sure does. Lois, thank you. Yes, communion does take a while, but it gives more than it takes. That's for darn sure. It may take a little time, but Christ gives so much more through the Lord's Supper. We should never begrudge the Lord his opportunity to feed us in his body and blood, even if it takes a little time. Darlene is calling from St. Louis. Darlene, welcome.
Greetings, Pastor.
Hi, Darlene.
Pastor, I want to support our friend in Canada, Becky. What she said is so true. I used to go to a church that had 4 and sometimes 5-hour services, and I got little from those services, from that preaching. I go to a Lutheran church. I am a Lutheran now. Thank God I have found the truth. But I have found that in the Lutheran services, I get more law and gospel, more truth, more gospel than I ever did in my 4 and 5 hour services at my other church.
Darlene, thanks. I think that's true. Good preaching. It's not just brief. It doesn't have to be brief, but it's more content. Green A calling from her car. Green A.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well.
Glad to be on the air. I just wanted to say how, you know, sometimes we teach our kids to go on and go to college, and they can sit through a lecture, and I believe personally that when we go to church, we're going to hear the Word of God, that we see our spiritual souls, and that it shouldn't be a focus on the time, focus on the meat of the Word that you're learning, that you can apply it to your life and you can grow thereby. You know, the Bible speaks that we are to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Well, we need to learn how to apply that Word. And I agree with the previous callers that, you know, we can sit through movies for 2 hours, but it's a big thing about, okay, how long have I been in church? That's not the focus. It should be on receiving what is being brought forth across the pulpit.
Thanks, Green A. Karen calls from Wyoming. Karen, real quickly, our time is very short.
Hello, Pastor Welkin.
Hi, Karen.
Okay, I'm going to get practical, and I hope I don't offend anybody. Did anybody sit in a pew with a 2-year-old during church?
That's a great point. You know, we get all these callers, and then the mother calls in and says, but we do have people who have no attention spans in our midst. Oh, my goodness. What do you do with that? All right, I've got two things to do. In radio, the clock is God. I've got to watch that clock and be done in 1 minute. In church, there should be one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He doesn't tick, and he is not as demanding and tyrannical and as relentless as the cross. In his good time, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, when time had fully come, to redeem us from our sins. You know where you hear good preaching? They might even learn how to do it in a timely fashion. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They have Christ Academy 2005 for high school-aged men who are interested in becoming pastors in the future. They can come and get a taste of it. Go to our website for more information. Christ Academy 2005, the logo is there and a link to more information. They'll have an opportunity to learn from the very best of preachers and regular guests here on Issues, etc., like Carl Fikencher and Halsey Vile and John Pless. Christ Academy 2005. The clock says it's time to stop. But when you listen to preaching next time, worship the true God, not the one that ticks on your wrist. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.